And so I've been given the privilege of bringing the next of our series, and it is the one which says, A People to Love With. And so our session today is called to Family. And if you want to join me, I'm going to be reading from Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. It will also be on the screen. So let's read it together. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for its power and its authority. Lord, we thank you, O God, that you, O God, are just the God who speaks into our lives. And we just pray right now, Father God, that you would have your way this morning. Father God, speak to us. Speak through me, we pray. Give me the words to say in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. I want you to close your eyes for me just 1 second. And I want you to just imagine this picture that I'm about to set. It's a beautiful, sunny morning. The sky is blue. The temperature is about 20 degrees, maybe 19 degrees. It depends what temperature you enjoy. But it's such a beautiful day. You can hear the birds singing, and it's just the picturesque day. It's that perfect day for a wedding. And you're all dressed up, and you're ready to go in your fine glads, and you're on the way to the wedding, and the wedding is just beautiful. The ceremony is stunning. Will just does an incredible job as he leads the sermonette, and the beautiful couple just looks stunning. The place is jam-packed. It's obviously pre-COVID, but it's just jam-packed. People are just really in there. Everyone's looking stunning, and the reception is incredible. The food is to die for. It's just that food that every mouthful is like just a party in your mouth. And it's just, the speeches are actually quite funny, which is quite refreshing. And then comes the most important moment of all. The moment that everyone is waiting for. That precious, beautiful moment when... Can you hear it? Hey! We... It's that moment where everyone's just in the party moment. They've had a few drinks at the reception, and they're just, their uncle is staggering onto the dance floor, and he's just singing, "We are family." It's that moment. We all love those moments where it's just great fun, great weather, and great parties. But that song, although written way back in 1979, has so much truth in it. We are family. Okay, I got all my sisters, might not be true. I got all my brothers and sisters with me. We are family. Get up, everyone, and sing. I should have had you all up dancing and jiving away. But, you know, that song, and actually Matt was probably going to do that as a response song so we can enjoy it together. But that is what we're talking about today. We are talking about family. We are talking about being together. Did you know that there are over 2.2 billion Christians in the world today? Which is about a third of the world's population. And it is estimated that there is an increase of 70,000 in number of new Christians every single day. The fastest growing church is in Iran. And Nikki Gumbel said, "The church is growing faster than ever before, and Christianity is gaining more members than any other religion. Indeed, it is growing 3 times the rate of the population explosion. More Muslims in Iran have come to know Christ over the past 10 years than during the previous 1,000 years. In Africa, 20,000 people a day are becoming Christians, and some estimate that there are as many as 100 million Christians in China alone." That was in 1997 that he wrote that. Imagine the growth of the church today. The church is a family of growth, a family that is global. It's a family that is connected. And the church is not a place that we go to. It's not even an event that we attend on a Sunday. It's a spiritual family that we get to belong to. Ephesians 2 says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." With God as our Father and Christ as the cornerstone, we are family. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We are citizens. My wife's like, hallelujah, I'm no longer a foreigner. Hallelujah, I'm a citizen in Jesus' name. We claim that. And we are members of God's family. We are members together, joined in him. And it's the only institution on earth. It's the only body on earth that will last for eternity. And we get to be a part of it. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, "This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of truth." Hallelujah. What? I don't know about you, but that excites me. That's amazing that we get to be a part of something so much bigger. Something that will last for eternity. Something that will never fail and will never break, because actually God is at the center of his church. Family is really the best. I want you to look to your left and to look to your right and see your brothers and sisters and give them an air high five. And just say, "We are family," to each other. If you're online, make sure you say it to the dog or whoever is at home. We are family. But the family thing is amazing. And I don't know what kind of family you've come from. I don't know if you come from a supporting family structure. I don't know if you've come from a broken family that has had so much hurt and pain. I don't know if you've been adopted or you're trying to start a family. I don't know if it's towards the end of your days and you just have such a huge blessed family, or you're estranged to your family. I don't know what your family is like, your direct family, but I know that you are born into, when you give your life to Christ, you are born into an eternal family. You know, our earthly families and sometimes even our church families can be a source of the greatest joy, but also the deepest heartache and pain. There's more emotion attached to our families than any other unit in society. Who here has a perfect family? Give me a wave if you've got a perfect family. Wow, there's one here. Praise the Lord. We've got some perfect families. This is incredible. I wasn't expecting that. It's kind of knocked me for six, but that's great. We have some perfect families. But I'm going to break a little bit of your bubble. Unfortunately, Buckskin is not the perfect family. I know I said it. Sorry. Oh, dear me. Buckskin, unfortunately, is never going to be perfect, because Jesus is the only one who is perfect. There is no perfect church. And I love this poem, and you can read it on the screen. It says, it's called The Perfect Church. "If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sakes, don't join that church. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church, with all anxieties cease, where all anxieties cease, then pass it by, lest by joining it you'd mar the masterpiece." "But since no perfect church exists, made of imperfect men, then let's cease looking for that church and love the church we're in. So let's keep working in our church until the resurrection. And then we each will join that church without an imperfection." Hallelujah. That's what we want to be. We want to be a church that live life together in all our imperfect ways. In the ups and downs of life, we want to be family that work towards the day when we will join the greatest church altogether. So I've got 4 points, but my last point more is quite short, but we're going to start this morning just to ask, what do we long to see Buckskin? What is the idea of church? How can we be church family effectively? Well, the first point is a church family loves completely. You couldn't talk about church without talking about love. You can't talk about it without. And the first couple of verses in Romans 12, verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love must be sincere. The NLT version says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. And the message, I love the message, it says, love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Don't fake it. We have to be a people of sincere love. It is it's come from the God himself who is love. It says in the word that God is love. And so he is perfect love. And we must be a reflection of that sincere love to all men. You know, our greatest commandment in life comes from Matthew 22, verse 36, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. We must be a people who love God with all that we have. He must be the center of our lives, the center of our soul, the center of our mind. Everything within us must love him. And Will was talking about that. The expression of that love comes through worship. It comes through not looking at anything else, not focusing on other things, but focusing purely on worshiping God and bringing him the glory that's due to his name. That is the first commandment, and this is the second commandment, and this is where we find ourselves this week. The second commandment, Jesus carries on and he says, the second commandment is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law, everything, we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Learning to love them, learning to honor one another, learning to love them as we love ourselves. This is in my notes, but some of us don't have a great opinion of ourselves. And so it's hard to love people because we don't know how much loved we are. Jesus says to you, I love you. You are beautiful. You are worth everything. You are worth me sending my son to die for you. Just know how special you are. When we know how special we are in God's sight, we can love people with sincere and pure love. 1 John 4 verse 7 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. You know, Buckskin is a loving church, I really think. I think it is a loving church. And just to say a few people, there are some unseen people that I believe are the bedrocks of this church. I think of Ian, who does weekly calls to people in the church, the unseen calls that no one knows about, but the pastoral calls that look after people. I think about Rose Crump, who sends messages of encouragement and words of edification, and she's a great encourager. The unseen working behind. I think of Megan, the walks and the time that she spends one-on-one with people because she loves spending time with people. I think of Kathy Boyce, the genuineness of her, how are you doing? That little bob that she does when she asks the question as she looks in your eyes. There is genuine love. There is sincere love in so many people in this church. And I believe that Buckskin is known for his love, just as John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But what about those people that are just a little hard to love? We all know those people. Some of us have them in our families. Those people that are just a bit frustrating or a bit annoying, maybe. Those people that you don't like, per se. Or maybe someone who has offended you within the church or within the family. Maybe someone who has ignored you, maybe not intentionally. Or maybe someone who has hurt you in the past and you've never quite forgiven them for it. I call these, you know, those kind of people that just, they are a bit needy maybe, and maybe they're just hard to love. Well, I call them EGRs, extra grace required, those kind of people, you know. We all know them. I think you can all think of those people. It's just extra grace is required. But how do we love them? We can never achieve the action of love in isolation. Love has to be within a family. Love has to be with imperfect people. Love has to be with people that are frustrating, people that are irritating. And what does the word say? I want to give you two things of love that we need to do. Firstly, it says that love holds one another accountable. It says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. The message says, run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. We must be a loving community that hates what is evil and that runs towards all that is good. You know, so often we don't want to correct or reprove people. We don't want to kind of challenge people. But actually, that's exactly what love is. Love is calling people to account. Love is saying, brother, sister, God's got more for you. I want to ask you, if you knew someone who was backsliding, would you just let them backslide? Or would you say, wait, come. I want to encourage you. I want to walk with you. If you truly love someone, you will walk with them. You will call them to account. We are all prone to sin. We all have our weaknesses. I, as Paul said, I am the greatest of sinners. We are all prone to sin. But as Hebrews 3:13 says, be encouraged, but encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, there's that phrase when people say it if people are asking too many questions, mind your own business. Unfortunately, that's not what the church can do. We can't just mind our own business. We have to be a people that journey with each other. We have to be a people that don't mind our own business, that are so interested in each other's lives, that keep each other accountable and walk with each other. It's the only way that we can truly be in genuine, loving family community. I think of the time when I was at university and I was struggling a lot. I was in things that I shouldn't have been in. But I was in a cell, in a home group, and every week we would meet. And one of my home group leader was a godly man. And I just said, mate, I need to meet with you. I need to be accountable. Because if I carry on this way, I'm going to end up somewhere I don't want to be. And so every week he met with me. Every week he asked me those difficult questions that no one really wants to ask. But I had to let him. Because actually, if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today. And I'm not saying that to puff myself up, because I still struggle with those things today. But I ensure and I believe that as a loving community, we need to surround ourselves with people that will speak love and truth. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. So we must first be, love holds one another accountable. Secondly, love puts others first. It says in verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that. Outdo one another in showing honor. When was the last time you tried to outdo each other? Imagine if we had a competition of trying to outdo one another, not out of pride, but out of brotherly love and sisterly love to say, actually, I want to honor you. Ben, I want to honor you for the hours and hours that you've spent putting all this tech together. I want to honor each and every person. I want to honor every single person. I want to honor Mick for his faithfulness to support us in Alpha and coming along and being a part of the team and diligently getting ready. When was the last time that we spent time honoring each other? It's time for us to be a people of genuine affection, genuine love. And I believe that we really are. I believe that there is that sense of genuineness, that sense of sincere love. Because at the end of the day, your love, not your doctrine, not your intelligence, not your passion, but your love will show that you are Jesus' disciple. Your love and my love, our love as a collective body, will show that we are Jesus' disciple. I put this in the wrong place. Oswald Chambers said, God loves me not because I am lovable, but because it is his nature to do so. And now he says to me, show the same love to others. Love as I have loved you. I will bring any number of people about you whom you cannot respect. And you must show my love to them as I have shown you. So a church family loves completely. Secondly, a church family commits wholeheartedly. It says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. That word devotion, it speaks of a greater commitment. It speaks of a commitment which is just a commitment which is almost a lifestyle. And it talks about a commitment to the family as a whole. Notice two things that they committed themselves to: a commitment to one another and a commitment to serving the Lord. In order to do this, we must be a people who love one another, who commit to support one another, who attend church, who become members, who join home groups, who give, who serve, who find their place to fit, because each and every one of us know that we are a part of this body, which is the family of God. We all have our part to play. We all have our part to commit to. We all need that commitment that won't relent. You know, Lapeace teaches me a lot about commitment. I don't know if it's commitment or stubbornness, but sometimes it's the same. And, you know, that she teaches me a lot about that. And she sometimes is a bit like a dog on a bone. She just won't let go of a situation. And often I don't agree. And she just keeps going at it and going at it. And I remember when we were in Burundi, and she was in the church, and she was one of the cell leaders that I was helping to oversee a group of cells, home groups, or whatever you want to call it. And her home group was 24 to 25 people strong. I don't know about you, but trying to meet with that many people in a house is almost impossible. You can't be done. And so week by week, I would tell her, Lapeace, you need to birth. We need to see a new home group. You can't look after this many people. You can't have a home group that big. It's great that you got that many people, but it's just, we need more. We need to see growth. Healthy things grow. And so if it's growing, let it birth. If she was pregnant and she didn't give birth, there'd be a problem. So I said, you need to give birth in that sense. But she refused. She's like, no, I just love them. I can't let them go. Week in, week out, trying to encourage her. 25, 26 people, 27 people. I mean, it was growing weekly. God was adding to their number daily. And it was becoming quite ridiculous. It got to the point where I had to say, right, enough is enough. Lapeace, I'm going to have to bring the big man inside. And I not God, he's a big man, but I was bringing my boss, who was Elmer, and he was the boss of the church. And so I said, Elmer, I need you to come. We need to come and cut this baby, this umbilical cord, and we need to have a second baby come out of this home group. And so it took her stubbornness to keep loving these people, her stubbornness to keep everyone together was amazing because it showed a commitment to love people. But at the end of the day, she couldn't continue to love that many people effectively. And we wanted to release more people into leadership. She has that passion, and she doesn't, it's that unrelenting, that ungiving, that not giving up. Keep pushing, keep asking. She kept on being passionate, and it taught me so much about what it means. And what it says in verse 11, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Even when it's hard, even when it feels more comfortable to be at home, as Will was saying last weekend, even when you want to give up, or even when, you know, it's going to cost you time and money and energy to come and to serve and to be a part of the church, to be a part of this family, to invest in other people, it's going to require something. Even when it's really hard, we must be patient in affliction. We must be joyful in hope. We must be faithful in prayer. And I believe that Buckskin is a wholehearted, committed people. I think of Emma, who is one of the most unsung heroes of this church. Without her, me and Will would not function. She keeps us in line. They say behind every good man, there's a better woman. Well, we're not married to her, but we can testify she's a great woman. And she makes things happen. She is committed. She is diligent. I think of Ashley, who is one of the most humble, steadfast men behind the scenes, always walking the walk and talking the talk. I think of Anne, who weekly comes and cleans this place so that we can enjoy a clean and nice environment. Otherwise, Megan would have to come down every day. I think of Ben, who is faithful, works behind the scenes. We are a wholehearted church. We are a wholehearted, committed church. And I don't know if you know, but if you commit to a church weekly, if you it says that on average you will live 5 to 6 years longer if you regularly attend a church. I'm not making this up. There is a statistic that says the researchers have found that those who went to church more than once a week had a 33% lower risk of dying during the study period compared to those who never went. So commit to church, commit to God's house, because actually you will live longer. Some of you are saying, I don't want to live longer. But, so, you know, you will actually be healthier because I believe that the church is the only place where you can deal with your anxiety, your fear, your hurt, your pain, your suffering. It's the only place where we can meet God face to face. This is what I call a spiritual checklist. These verses, and as you go through, I wonder how many of those can we tick? Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep a spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. I wonder how many I can tick, honestly. I'm not sure. But let's hope we can get better. The quote says, a life totally committed to God has nothing to fear, nothing to lose, and nothing to regret. So a church family loves completely, it commits wholeheartedly, and a church family serves freely. Verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people all who are in need. Practice hospitality. God's family is all about sharing, opening our homes, being open and ready. Yeah, opening our homes after COVID maybe, because we're not quite there yet. When the restrictions allow, Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We must be a people who share openly. And I have experienced the sharing and the loving of this community. As me and Lapeace were transitioning over and trying to find the way to get into the UK, I have experienced a genuine love of people who love freely, who share freely, and who love so faithfully. And as we see in Acts 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Everyone, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We must be a people who share openly. Fellowship talks about being like-minded and sharing openly. Not just sharing physically, but also sharing our greatest joys and our greatest sorrows, our griefs and our pains, our worries and our hurts. As it says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with all those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. I don't know what you're struggling with today, but the church family is a place where we can share each other's burdens. We can stand in the gap and we can pray for one another. We can walk with each other and we can encourage each other. We can share of ourselves so that we can continue to be the community that God has called us to be. As the worship team come up, I wonder this morning if it can be a place where we can share our pain. If it can be a place where we can share our hurt and our worries and our struggles and our burdens. I wonder this morning if Buckskin is a place where you can come and say, I need you to stand in the gap for me. I need you. I want to be open and I want to share. I need you to love me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to encourage me. Because a church that we want to see is a church that loves completely, a church family that commits wholeheartedly, a church family that shares freely, and lastly, as I conclude, a church family that grows continually. Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. If we are being the family that God has called us to be, if we are loving as we are called to be, if we are committed as we are called to be, if we are sharing as we are called to be, then we will not be able to stop what God wants to do in his church and in his kingdom, because he will add to our number daily. We will see God's hand reach into this community, reach into your family, reach into your friends, because they will know you by your love. They will know you by the people who you surround yourself with. Next to you right now is your brother and your sister. It's your friend and your companion. It's your confidant. It's the helping hand when you need it. It's the encouraging joke when you need a laugh. Each and every one of us have our part to play. Why? Not so that Buckskin can be great, but so that Lord God Almighty can receive all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you that there is no other institution on earth that is like the family of believers. We thank you for this place, and we thank you that it is not perfect, because if it was perfect, none of us should be here, including myself, most of all. And so, Lord, we thank you that church is imperfect. And we pray that you would help us to be a people of love, a people of commitment, a people who share, and a people who grow each and every day. Father, make us your church. Make us your family, so that we may be your hands and your feet to the world today. In your holy and precious name, amen.